বিসমিল্লাহ রহমান রহিম। মসজিদ দারুস সালাম টরন্টো কানাডা। মন্ডে আফটার 30th তারাবি 29th অফ অগস্ট 2011। অনলি আল্লাহ উইল অ্যাকম্পানি ইন দ্য গ্রেভ। রাইট প্রোনাউন্সিয়েশন অব দ্য কোরআন ইজ ভেরি ইম্পর্টেন্ট। ফাইভ ইম্পর্টেন্ট অ্যাট্রিবিউটস ফর দ্য সাকসেস। অ্যান ইম্পর্টেন্ট দোয়া টু মেমোরাইজ। The bayan is presented by Hazrat Maulana Mufti Ibrahim Qureshi Sahib Damat Barakatuhu.
Alhamdulillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa nashhadu anna sayyidana Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. قال الله عز وجل: رب أوزعني أن أشكر نعمتك التي أنعمت علي وعلى والدي وأن أعمل صالحا ترضاه وأصلح لي في ذريتي إني تبت إليك وإني من المسلمين. أولئك الذين نتقبل عنهم أحسن ما عملوا ونتجاوز عن سيئاتهم وقال الله تعالى: والذين يؤتون ما آتوا وقلوبهم وجلة إلى ربهم راجعون. وقال تعالى: إنما يتقبل الله من المتقين. Respected and honorable brothers and our respected sisters, first and foremost we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who made it possible for us to participate in this great noble prayers of Taraweeh, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extended our time. We only had 29 days, but alhamdulillah with the announcement which was made and the decision that was taken by the Hilal Committee of Toronto, we are able to enjoy one more day of month of Ramadan. Indeed, this is a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compared to what we can take, you know, what benefit we can take in the month of Ramadan. Indeed, this is a great blessing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to understand these blessings here. Just today I was reading Lata'iful Ma'arif. Ibn Rajab Muhammadi rahmatullah alayhi, he mentions beautifully and he says that Salafus Salihin, when the month of Ramadan used to come to conclusion, they would always be concerned of all the good deeds they have done, whether these deeds are accepted or not. So he mentions that some people, what they used to do in the month of Ramadan, or before the month of Ramadan would come, for 6 months in advance they would be making dua, "Oh Allah, let us not die before the month of Ramadan comes." And then when the month of Ramadan used to end, immediately after that, for 6 months they would be praying to Allah, supplicating to Allah, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, accept all the worships and ibadat we did in the month of Ramadan." So now look at this, my brothers. Sometimes the shaitan, you know, we are in this delusion and illusion. We think that, you know, we have done so much. Allah give us the opportunity to pray Taraweeh prayers as if we have done a great accomplishment. You know, sometimes we stand up and we offer 2 rakat of tahajjud prayers, 4 rakat of tahajjud prayers. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us in the month of Ramadan to come to the masjid and offer prayers, and we think that we have done so much. But our great scholars, pious predecessors, they were so conscious of their worship, whether they are accepted or not. So it is mentioned, you know, at the time of Umar ibn al-Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi, also it is mentioned at his time, he used to see faces. Some faces, they used to be in joy and happiness. And some faces, they were in sorrow and grief on the day of Eid al-Fitr. Simply because they did not know whether they were amongst those whose ibadat were accepted or not. And why they had this feeling? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. We only accept the worship and the prayers of those who are pious. Now only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who is pious, who is accepted in His sight. You know, we can do so much, but at the same time we need to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts us. In one place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. They give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever they can, they give in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوا. Whatever Allah has given them, they give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the very same time, وَجِلَةٌ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Their hearts are shook. Their hearts are fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this money that I'm giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will this be accepted or not? Will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward me for what I am giving or not? This was the concern they had, and this was the piety, the level of piety they had. So my brothers, one of the things that we should also fear from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, the little ibadah and the worship that I have done, oh Allah accepted from me. You know, just on this note here, I have recited one ayat here, inshallah we will go through this ayat here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches a beautiful dua to appreciate the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now just before mentioning this here, one narration I was mentioning yesterday comes to my mind, and inshallah I would like to share this here. It is mentioned, we normally don't have the understanding of Qiyamah before us. We don't have the understanding of what will happen when you go into the grave. Ibrahim al-Adham rahmatullahi alayhi, one day it was mentioned to him that, oh Ibrahim al-Adham, what was the cause and what was the reason that it took 180 turn in your life? Before you were a great king of Balkh. Balkh is a place obviously in northern Afghanistan or in Russia, northern Russia. And he was a great king. And all of a sudden, something struck him. And because of that, he changed altogether and he adopted asceticism. So, the question was posed, and this question obviously strikes our hearts. And the question was, what made you change your lifestyle altogether, O Ibrahim? So in the first question he said, and this is a reflection upon our heart, he says, "Inni ra," when I went to the graveyard, he said, "Inni ra'aytu al-qabra muhishan wa laysa ma'iya munisun." The first thing he said was that, when I went to the graveyard, my brothers, we all go to the graveyard, but this is something that we need to ponder over this word here. When I think of these words here, my brothers, we need to think, what do we do when you go to the graveyard? And when this Ibrahim ibn Adham, the friend of Allah, when he went to the graveyard, what did he say? The first thing he said was, "Inni ra'aytu al-qabra muhishan." When I went to the graveyard, I saw this pit, this 6 feet pit to be completely dark. There is no one with me. No one will be accompanying me when I will go into the graveyard. And وَلَيْسَ مَعْيَ مُونِسٌ, I will have no company. My brothers, let's just ponder over this point here. Every youngster, be it a young person, be it an older person, any person, it's a nature of a human being that he does not want to be alone. Momentarily, he will not be alone. If I was to, for argument's sake, especially in the days when it's not Ramadan, 12 o'clock midnight, this whole place is dark. No one is here. And especially if you know some stories of jinn, whatnot, you will never want to be in this masjid alone. No one. If I tell you to go to Montreal, the first thing you're going to say that, I need some kind of company. If I tell you to go somewhere, you're going to say, I need some company. My brothers, we human beings, by nature, we need company. And if you don't have any company, then we are scared. I need a partner with me. All the way to Montreal, all the way to Ottawa, I need a company with me. So, for even a small task that we need to execute, we need company. My brothers, I ask you, on that day when Ibrahim al-Adham rahmatullahi alayhi, what the vision that he got was a serious vision. He looked into the pit. Think about yourself. You go into the grave. Your ruh has been taken away. Is taken away. You're going inside the grave. And someone will come, your relatives will come, your sons will come, your children will come, and they will put the dirt over you, and you will be in the darkness forever and ever. No light to come ever and ever whatsoever. You will be in that darkness. No one will be accompanying you. Your mother, your father, your relatives, your mentors, whoever it may be, everyone will go away, and they will make salam to you, and they will go away. On that day, who will be with you, my brothers? It's a reflection upon our heart, my brothers. My brothers, the only thing that can come, and that is the reason why the people are doing itikaf here. One of the essence and one of the main reason why people are doing itikaf is so that they can have some kind of companionship, some kind of company in the graveyard, in the grave. And what is that company? My brothers, my friends, my mother, no one will be coming. The only thing that will come and company in the graveyard is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you make that ta'alluq and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be there. But my brothers, in this world, if he had no connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we did not care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on that day it will become extremely difficult for us to have any companionship. My brothers, in the month of Ramadan, we build special connection with Quran. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that person who recites Surah Al-Mulk on a regular basis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will secure him, protect him from the punishment of the grave. My brothers, these are the things that will come handy. These are the things we need to attach ourselves to. Because after all, my brothers, in small matters in this world, we made connections. We have companionship. My brothers, that place that we will be going forever and ever and ever, what kind of companionship do we have, my brothers? This is a reflection upon our hearts, my brothers. We do i'tikaf. Unfortunately, you know, we have so many brothers doing i'tikaf, we get distracted. But one of the reasons, Ibn Rajab Hanbali rahmatullahi alayhi mentions clearly in Lata'iful Ma'arif, that one of the main reasons why people do i'tikaf is to build that one-on-one connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day you will have to disconnect yourself from every single person and only have connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers, if you cannot make that connection for 2 minutes, 5 minutes, will we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before us in the grave or not? This is the question that we need to ask, my brothers. We become so weak. Yes, we are able to occupy ourselves in congregational prayers, fara'id, taraweeh prayers, and even tahajjud prayers we want to do in Qiyamul Layl. But besides that, one-on-one connection with Allah, supplicating to Allah, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is not in our life at all, my brothers. This is the only connection, this is the only companionship with you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which can come with you in the graveyard, my brothers. The connection that you have with the Quran will come and rescue you on the day when you go into the grave, my brothers. Nothing else will come. The second thing he mentioned, he said that رَأَيْتُ الْقَاضِيَ جَبَّارًا وَلَيْسَ مَعَيَّ حُجَّةٌ. He said that I looked at the judge. No, the second point that he mentioned is رَأَيْتُ الطَّرِيقَ طَوِيلًا وَلَيْسَ مَعِيَ زَادٌ. When I looked at my journey, you know, when you measure your journey from here to Montreal, such a long journey, I need food, I need some kind of provision, I need some kind of food, whatnot. We take all that with us. We take extra money with us so we can stop at pit stop and we can purchase something. So he says, رَأَيْتُ الطَّرِيقَ طَوِيلًا. I saw the journey from here, this world, all the way to Qiyamah. It's such a long journey, but I have no provision with me whatsoever. So he says, he says, I have no provision with me. My brothers, let's just ponder over this year. What have you prepared? For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, خَيْرُ الزَّادِ وَالتَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُونِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. My brothers, the only provision that can come and help us on the day of judgment and that can help us on the journey from here to Qiyamah is what? At-taqwa. What level of taqwa do we have that can help us? My brothers, let it not be that the taqwa that we have, the moment we go into the graveyard, it is finished. That provision is gone. We want sufficient provision which can last us all the way till Qiyamah. The third point that he mentions, رَأَيْتُ الْجَبَّارَ قَاضِيًا وَلَيْسَ مَعِيَ حُجَّةٌ. He says that on the day of judgment, there will be one judge. And that judge is Jabbar, Malik, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, the most powerful. He will be the judge. In this world, my brother, sometimes it happens, you have a court date. And when you have a court date, you say, oh, I know the judge. Don't worry, I know this person here. He's an Asian. He's from Pakistan. Or he's from here and there. Don't worry. So you already have this kind of relief that, you know, this particular person here, you know what, I will be able to get by with this judge here. But on that day, there will only be one judge, and that will be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jabbar, the Almighty, the most powerful, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَيْسَ مَعِيَ حُجَّةٌ. You may have plenty of excuses in this world, but those excuses will be of no avail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this clearly in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this. I will just translate the message of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, and especially when it comes for excuses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, لَا أُقُسِمُ بِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا أُقُسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the oath of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the oath of the inner self, which is lawama, which criticizes when we do something wrong. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَلَّن نَجْمَعَ عِظَامًا. Does a believer, does a human being think that we will never gather his bones together once he has departed from this world? Nay, this will never happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَلَّن نَجْمَعَ عِظَامًا بَلَا قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَن نُسَوِّيَ بَنَانًا. Subhanallah. Forget about your bones. Oh human being, forget about, you know, getting your bones together. We will even get your fingertips together. We will even get your fingertips together. And you know what fingertip is all about, my brothers. In today's time, if you ask in every single person in this world, no two person will have same fingertips. That is why the authorities, they're more particular about getting your fingerprints. If they're really suspicious on you, they will get fingerprints. Because that is more accurate than your own signature. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, O mankind, forget about your bones. It is a system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has kept in this world, that we decompose bodies. And after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring them back together. But we think that once the bones disappear, then that's the end of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, forget about your bones, even the fingertips of yours, we will bring them back together. بَلَا قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَن نُسَوِّيَ بَنَانَهُ بَلْ يُرِيدُ الْإِنسَانُ لِيَفْجُرَ أَمَامَهُ. Because the human being, he has forgotten Allah, he has forgotten the day of judgment, he continues to go away from Allah and he continues to transgress from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands. بَلْ يُرِيدُ الْإِنسَانُ لِيَفْجُرَ أَمَامَهُ يَسْأَلُ أَيَّانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. He asks when the day of judgment will be. بَلْ يُرِيدُ يَسْأَلُ أَيَّانَ يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ فَإِذَا بَرِقَ الْبَصَرُ وَخَسَفَ الْقَمَرُ وَجُمِعَ الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions on that day, فَإِذَا بَرِقَ الْبَصَرُ, when your eyes will be stunned, when there will be days and stunned, there will be glued. You know, sometimes, you know, when I say that, you've never seen a person in your life, and you know he'll never be here. And I say that, look who's behind you. You? How did you end up here? So your eyes will be stunned and glued. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that you were denying qiyamah, but on that day, فَإِذَا بَرِقَ الْبَصَرُ, when the qiyamah will be before you, your eyes will be glued and stunned. فَإِذَا بَرِقَ الْبَصَرُ وَخَسَفَ الْقَمَرُ, the moon and the sun, they will lose their light. They will be eclipsed and they will lose their light. وَخَسَفَ الْقَمَرُ وَجُمِعَ الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ يَقُولُ الْإِنسَانُ. On that day the human being will say, where can I flee? Where can I run away? يَقُولُ الْإِنسَانُ يَوْمَئِذٍ أَيْنَ الْمَفَرُ كَلَّا لَا وَزَرُ. On that day he will not be able to run anywhere. إِلَى رَبِّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْمُسْتَقَرُ, except towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, just translating the ayat here, يَقُولُ الْإِنسَانُ يَوْمَئِذٍ أَيْنَ الْمَفَرُ كَلَّا لَا وَزَرْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْمُسْتَقَرُ يُنَبَّأُ الْإِنسَانُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِمَا قَدَّمَ وَأَخَّرُ. On that day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will, you know, everything, Allah ta'ala will tell you every single thing. All the good deeds and the bad deeds that you put forward, it will be before you. All the things that you left behind, that you forgot to do in this world, will be before you. مَا قَدَّمَ وَأَخَّرُ. Whatever you had done will be before you. Whatever you forgot to do in this world. You know, we thought that life is so long, and whatever you forgot to do, مَا أَخَّرُ, whatever you left behind, it will be before you. يُنَبَّأُ الْإِنسَانُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِمَا قَدَّمَ وَأَخَّرُ بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا. Rather, the human being himself will testify for all the deeds that he has done. وَلَوْ أَلْقَى مَعَاذِيرَهُ. Even if he put forward so many excuses on that day before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his excuses will not be accepted, my brothers. This is the time that we need to prepare ourselves. Just translating, obviously, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, لَا تَعْجَبِ الْقُرْآنِ. Don't hasten when you recite Qur'an. Obviously, it's a topic on its own, but I want to mention one very important message. And that is, my brothers, you know, this, you know, when the, mashallah, the hufadh kiram, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them in abundance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate their status in this world and hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them with, you know, abundance of knowledge, which can help the community at large. Now the problem is that we recite the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly mentions in the Quran that when you recite Quran, don't hasten. O Prophet of Allah, let us reveal the wahi to you, then you recite. And when you recite the Quran, inna alayna bayana, it is upon us to explain the Quran to you. And inna alayna jam'ahu, it is upon us that we put the Quran into your heart. So don't hasten. From this we learn, my brothers, whenever you recite Qur'an, we're supposed to be reciting Qur'an properly, with proper tajweed, with proper recitation. It is a mandate upon us. You know, we should not be forcing the hufaz. You know, sometimes we have this problem that we measure our taraweeh by time. This place here, 55 minutes. This place here, 50 minutes. This place here, 1 hour, 5 minutes. My brothers, when you do things like that, we are putting pressure upon the hufaz. Because of that, they are hastening and they're not reciting the Qur'an as they should be reciting. My brothers, we're supposed to be looking for those type of taraweeh where the Qur'an is being recited the way it was revealed to us, the way it was revealed to the Sahaba, the way it was revealed to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it came down to Sahaba radiallahu majma'in. Nevertheless, just finishing this ayat here, and I will mention one more ayat after this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, فَلَا صَدَّقَ وَلَا صَلَّى. This person, he was never particular about his salat. فَلَا صَدَّقَ. He never gave charity. He never used to give sadaqah. وَلَا صَلَّى. And he never used to pray salat properly. فَلَا صَدَّقَ وَلَا صَلَّى. وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى. He used to reject the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to reject, you know, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One important, you know, point that comes to my mind. I was sharing this with the youngsters yesterday in yesterday's talk. And this comes to my mind, so I will share with you again. So beautifully this was mentioned. It is mentioned that we should ponder over five things. When a person ponders over five things, then he will be rewarded with five things. And it's mentioned so beautifully, Allahu Akbar. Only if we are able to take some time out in seclusion and start pondering and thinking over akhirat and thinking over right things, as opposed to preoccupying ourselves with movies, with television, with cell phones, with friends and different other things. It is said that person who ponders over the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَتَوَلَّدُ مِنْهُ التَّوْحِيدُ وَالْيَقِينُ. That person who ponders over the signs of Allah, Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ أَفَلَا تُبُصِرُونَ. We will surely show him signs in the heavens, in the earth, and within himself. There are plenty of signs, my brothers. If you look at the signs properly, we will know that there is only one being worthy of worship, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So briefly mentioning these five points here, the first point is that that person who ponders over the sign of Allah, he'll be blessed with what? يَتَوَلَّدُ مِنْهُ التَّوْحِيدُ وَالْيَقِينُ. So if you want to have good yaqeen, good certainty, and good tawheed, oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into your heart, what should you be doing? Ponder over what? فِي آيَاتِ اللَّهِ. The signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing that was mentioned, that التَّفَكَّرُ فِي آلَاءِ اللَّهِ. That person who ponders over the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us plenty and plenty of bounties. You know, we have no right to complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that person ponders over the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, تَفَكُّرُ فِي آلَاءِ اللَّهِ يَتَوَلَّدُ مِنْهُ الْمَحَبَّةُ وَالشُّكْرُ. He will be blessed with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more you think, Wallah, subhanAllah, Wallah, you had given me a glass of water. Wallah, you had given me this ni'mat. Wallah, this whole day went by, and ya Allah, I had no trouble in my day. Wallah, this whole week went by, Wallah, and I had no problem in my life. Allahu Akbar, such a great ni'mat. You know, when you talk about the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, we complain too much. And, you know, it is mentioned so beautifully by one of the scholars. I will mention the last point of it. You know, a human being by nature, he complains. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to Uzair, and he gave him, you know, four advices, and one of the advice was, oh Uzair, don't complain and make any complaint about me to your makhluk, to my makhluk, my creation. فَلَا تَشْكُونِي إِلَىٰ خَلْقِ. We normally have this habit. You know, days and weeks, we were enjoying and we were in comfort. We went for holidays, we enjoyed. But one day we went through some difficulty and hardship. Allahu Akbar. Brother, how are you? Alhamdulillah. But explains the whole thing, the whole story of ours. So would you, brother, how are you? Alhamdulillah. And then, but, slowly, and the but will explain the whole complaint that we have against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We totally forget what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So we hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَشْكُونِي إِلَىٰ خَلْقِي. Oh mankind, don't complain about me to my makhluk. Why? Because when you used to sin, إِذَا سَعِدَتْ مَسَاءُكَ إِلَيَّ. You know, when you used to commit sins and your sin were escalated to me, I never ever made complaint to my malaika to take you to task. My brothers, think over this here. On a regular basis, we transgress, we go against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't tell the angels that, oh angels, destroy this person here. Take this person to task. But yet we go through a little bit of inconvenience, we start complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We start complaining about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people. Rather, we're supposed to be turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If anyone who is worthy of listening to us, it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any problem we have, we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nevertheless, so the second point was that we should ponder over the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, the ni'mat of Allah. If we do this, then we will be able to what? Have love of Allah. We will be able to have what? Shukr. Appreciation for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And then the third thing that is mentioned is, تَفَكُّرْ فِي وَعَدِ اللَّهِ. Ponder over the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you ponder over what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised, Allahu Akbar. You know, I had this talk in the other place here, and I was mentioning that if you, you know, especially in Surah Al-Rahman, I want every one of you to read the translation of Surah Al-Rahman, Surah Al-Tur, and Surah Al-Waqi'ah. In these places, especially Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Jannat. What Allah has given you in Jannat. My brothers, the reason why I'm saying, especially in today's time, we need to talk about more Jannat. We need to talk about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us. We need to talk about this more and more, my brothers. The reason why I'm saying this, my brothers, many a times, especially the grown up, the married ones, unmarried ones, every one of us, we have this. You know, we're on the street, we see a 70-year-old person. Wow, look at this person here. So beautiful, so happy, so pretty. Immediately we think of a second wife. Because, you know, we see the beauty in, obviously. So we think of a second wife. Or the person who's not married, this is my dream girl. This is my... But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in the Quran. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept us hurs. لَمْ يَطْمِثْهُنَّ إِنْسٌ قَبْلَهُمْ وَلَا جَانٍ. Such great hurs that no mankind has ever touched. Forget about human being, even the jinn hasn't touched. Now let me just try opening this example up a bit more. You know, sometimes if I was to tell you, Brother Abdullah, I'm just taking a hypothetical example, Brother Abdullah, I will award you with a beautiful car, a brand new car. But that car is Toyota Corolla. Whatever, you take it. It's a free car. It's a good gift. You know, it's a true story. It's a true story. But, you know, I'll just share this here as an anecdote. In Saudi, a prince, he came to, someone related the story last year when I went. A prince, you know, he ended up in a small masjid for Fajr Salat. And he asked the imam, and everyone was sitting there, and he asked the imam, that are these the only people? Are these the only people that come for Fajr Salat? Because these are the only people. These are regular. They regularly come. No one else. So he came next day and he wrote a check and he awarded every single person with a car. He awarded every single person with a car. So when people found out, it's a true story. And then the next day, there was no space. There was no space in the masjid. Subhanallah. Because our yaqeen is there. Allahu Akbar. Our yaqeen. You know that king can give a check. Imagine what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give you. Look what Allah can give you. But we have yaqeen in that. You know, there was no yaqeen. Obviously, those people who were regular, they got it. But even though these people didn't have yaqeen, but they built that yaqeen that inshallah by next day going, we might get something. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes so many promises for us in this world and hereafter, but we don't give any heed to those promises. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, you know, so I was given an example of Toyota Corolla. So I ask you, Brother Abdullah, you want this Toyota Corolla? He goes, yes, definitely. So then I tell him, Brother Abdullah, but if you wait 1 month, then in 1 month, I will give you such a car which is 1,000 better than this car here. Now he's going to be thinking, you know what? Okay, if I get this Corolla, will I get that? No. You can only get one or the other. So Abdullah will say, no, I'll wait for 1 month. Just 1 month? Inshallah, I'll wait for 1 month. Because I want to see that car. Is it guaranteed? 100% guaranteed. No doubt about it. And the promise is haq, 100%. 1,000 times better. And you know what? Even if I don't say 1,000 times better, you'll get Mercedes. Really? Definitely, I'll take it. Allahu Akbar. He'll take that car right away. He'll say, no, you will wait for 1 month. I want to see. My brothers, this is what dunya is. In this dunya, we need to look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises in Jannah. When we look at that, then we will see Allahu Akbar, this beautiful girl here, Allahu Akbar. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for me in Akhirah. You know, when I see that car, Allahu Akbar, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for me in Jannah. This is, if you look at it like that, my brothers, you know, when we get, you know, mesmerized with this temporary beauty and the glamour and beauty of this world, my brothers, we need to look at the beauties and the beauties of Akhirah. When we look at that, then we will say, Ibrahim, wait for 2 days. It's a temporary world in this world here. Allah has kept such great bounties for you in Akhirah. When you get that, you will appreciate them more. My brothers, this is how our nafs is. We need to control our nafs. We need to look at the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. So that person who ponders over all the promises, then he will be able to get what? What reward he will get? He will get the reward of raghbat. يَتَوَلَّدُ مِنْهُ الرَّغْبَةُ. He will get more longing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will get more longing to appreciate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will have more longing to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth point that he mentions is tafakkur fil wa'idi. Pondering over all the warnings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned. Look at Haman, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him. Look, you know, Qarun. Inna Qarun, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him so much wealth, but Allah ta'ala doomed, destroyed him with his wealth. فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. If you look at all these wa'id and the warnings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, then the result of that will be يَتَوَلَّدُ مِنْهُ هَيْبَةُ. Then we will get the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we will, you know, be able to understand. Look at these people here. Look what they went through. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save every one of us. And we will also be able to protect ourselves. So the fourth point is what? If you ponder over the warnings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَتَوَلَّدُ مِنْهُ الْهَيْبَةُ. The haybat, the awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come into our hearts. And then the fifth thing that is mentioned was that We need to ponder over في التقصير عن طاعة الله. All the deficiency that comes in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite us being healthy and sound, we were not able to fulfill our bounty, our obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we are supposed to. If we ponder over this, then يَتَوَلَّدُ مِنْهُ الْحَيَاءُ, then we will have more modesty, we have more respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallah, I have done nothing. Wallah, I have done absolutely nothing. Wallah, enable us to do more. Nevertheless, this is something that just came to my mind here. This is what we need to ponder over. If you ponder over these points here, inshallah, we will, be able to focus ourselves better as opposed to being preoccupied in negative things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here, فَلَا صَدَّقَ وَلَا صَلَّى وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى ثُمَّ ذَهَبَ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ يَتَمَطَّى. When he is in affluence, he walks in his family with arrogance, with pride, as if, Allah has given him so much. And whatever he got with his own money. He got with his own knowledge. See, he walks in pride. He completely forgets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, أَوْلَى لَكَ فَأَوْلَى ثُمَّ أَوْلَى لَكَ فَأَوْلَى. Woe unto you, curse be unto you. May you go away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ أَوْلَى لَكَ فَأَوْلَى. Woe unto you, woe unto you. ثُمَّ أَوْلَى لَكَ فَأَوْلَى أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَن يُتْرَكَ سُدًى. Does the human being that he'll be left without any accountability? After being created, he'll be just like that? There is no accountability for him? أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَن يُتْرَكَ سُدًى أَلَمْ يَكُنْ نُطْفَةً مِّن مَّنِيٍّ يُمْنَى. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers the same question. The question was, will we be resurrected? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is answering that question and saying that, remember, especially the youngsters who are doomed with this theory of evolution, keep this in mind. أَلَمْ يَكُنْ نُطْفَةً مِّن مَّنِيٍّ يُمْنَى. Oh mankind, your position, your status at one time, what was your origin? Your origin was that you were nothing but a drop of sperm. أَلَمْ يَكُنْ نُطْفَةً مِّن مَّنِيٍّ يُمْنَى. From that drop of sperm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, ثُمَّ كَانَ عَلَقَةً فَخَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. Then we made into blood clot. And then فَسَوَّى. Then we created you in the best of form. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in another place. He says, مَا غَرَّكَ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ أَلَّذِي خَلَقَكَ فَسَوَّاكَ فَعَدَلَكَ فِي أَيِّ صُورَةٍ مَا شَاءَ رَكَّبَكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, oh mankind, today you look at yourself in a mirror. Is there anyone more beautiful than me? Is there anyone more handsome than me? Whoa. When you walk on the street, you're thinking, Allah, the eyes that Allah has given you. Sometimes you want to put your duplicate eyes, you know what I mean by duplicate eyes, right? The contacts. You've got black eyes, you've got brown eyes, but you want to show that, you've got green eyes. You've got blue eyes. So we put all these features on. Allah has given us, sometimes you show off with your bicep and your muscles, you're showing all this off. Who's giving you this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. We forget all this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have created you in the best of form, in the best of shape. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَشَدَدْنَا أَسْرَهُمْ وَإِلَىٰ شِئْنَا بَدَّلْنَا أَمْثَالَهُمْ تَبْدِيلًا. Remember, it is Allah who made your body parts, who has joined, who put all the joints together. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, وَإِلَىٰ شِئْنَا, if you wish, بَدَّلْنَا أَمْثَالَهُمْ تَبْدِيلًا, we will change you in split second. Completely, we will change you. My brothers, think about it. You're driving, motorcycle, you're showing off to your people what now you're driving, and all of a sudden you bump into an accident. Subhanallah, your life changes. You're burnt, your face is complete. You don't want to show your face to someone. Your physical beauty is not there anymore. My brother, something small happens and your whole body is gone. Who has given you this? Allah has given you. But because of our pride, we forget this. My brothers, anything can happen in this world. One youngster, he was very close to me. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. It's a lesson for all of us. One youngster, two years ago, I met him at one occasion. When I saw him on wheelchair, I don't want to disclose his name. I said that, what's wrong with you? He said, no, alhamdulillah, I'm okay, alhamdulillah. But I didn't know what the condition was, so I asked his friend. He said that, now this same youngster I knew because when I was studying, I knew this youngster. He was very, very particular. He was extremely particular about his body. He wanted to have very, nice bicep and nice, he used to work out. Crazy. Even in the madrasa, he used to work out. Subhanallah, he used to work out. And you can tell Allah Ta'ala had given him a beautiful body. He was a very handsome looking person. Allah had given him all the features. So what happened was, this person, when he was coming out from his dad's shop, no one was there. The robbers came. He was getting into his car and they pulled a gun on him. Before they pulled the gun, they demanded money. So he said that he resisted because then Allah had given him some power. He thought that he would be able to tackle them and put them down. But he was not able to. So they just put the gun in the back and right by the, you know, where the, you know, your vertebrae bone is. That's where his, you know, they shot the bullet. And because of that, he became completely paralyzed. Completely. He was not able to get married. Obviously, he's not in a good condition. You should make dua for him. But this is the reality, my brothers. We show off. We forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. We forget, you know, what our origin was. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, ثُمَّ كَانَ عَلَقَةً فَخَلَقَ فَسَوَّى فَجَعَلَ مِنْهُ زَوْجَيْنِ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى. It is only the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made you into male and female. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, أَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَن يُحْيَ الْمَوْتَى. If Allah can do all this, is He not capable that He will bring you back to give you life again after you dying in this world? Obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable. My brothers, I want to conclude this here, this program here. We all need to learn something from this program here. I want to conclude with a beautiful dua. Remember, I started this talk with you. Today's talk was, we need to make ourselves accepted before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can we do this here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us a beautiful dua. I want you to learn this dua here. Put this dua into practice here. Inshallah, Allah, it will be easy for us. Allah ta'ala has taught us a beautiful dua in Surah Al-Ahqaf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ. Oh Allah, give me the ability and tawfiq to thank over all the bounties that You have showered upon me. أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَىٰ وَالِدَيَّ. And oh Allah, give me the ability to appreciate the bounties that You have given to my parents. Because those bounties will eventually come to me one day. أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيَّ وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي. Wallah, give me the ability to do good deeds. Such good deeds through which You will be pleased. وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي. Wallah, give me, Wallah, reform my children. Wallah, help my children. Wallah, make a change for good in my children. Wallah, make a change for good in my children. أَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي إِنِّي تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَإِنِّي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Wallah, I turn to You. Wallah, I turn to You. I repent to You. وَإِنِّي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And I am amongst the believer. He makes this dua. Such a comprehensive dua. After making this dua, immediately, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ نَتَقَبَّلُ عَنْهُمْ أَحْسَنَ مَا عَمِلُوا. Immediately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, these are the people, these people who make this dua here, what do? We will accept their good deeds. We will accept their good deeds. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ نَتَقَبَّلُ عَنْهُمْ أَحْسَنَ مَا عَمِلُوا. We will accept all their good deeds. And how about all the bad deeds that we have done? وَنَتَجَاوَزُ عَنْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ فِي أَصْحَابِ الْجَنَّةِ وَعْدَ صِدْقِ الَّذِي كَانُوا يُوعَدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, oh my servant, when you make this dua, when you become like this, we will accept all your ibadat, we will accept your prayers, and at the very same time, we will pardon all your shortcomings, and you will be in Jannah. And this is a true, this promise is absolutely true, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran. My brothers, this is such a beautiful dua that we need to, if you learn this dua, you put this into practice, inshallah, making this dua here, we make it a habit of learning this dua, inshallah, it will become very easy for us. Just briefly mentioning one masala here, the Imam mentioned that I was going to mention some masalas in a Sadaqat al-Fitr, but we need to keep in mind, a Sadaqat al-Fitr is necessary. Any person on whom zakat is wajib, he has to give Sadaqat al-Fitr. Any person on whom zakat is wajib, obviously he has to give Sadaqat al-Fitr on behalf of himself and on behalf of his minor children. Also, that person who may not have Sadaqat al-Fitr wajib on him, meaning that he does not have zakatable asset, but he has many, many things in his house which are not zakatable, but yet they are beyond his need and necessities. For example, TV, that flat screen TV that you have, perhaps the computer that you have. You know, for some people it's a necessity, for some people it isn't. Maybe the extra car you have, all the furniture that you have that you don't need. So all those things which are beyond your need and necessity. If you evaluate all that, you know, for many of us, just a flat screen TV itself will be so expensive. Anyways, so if you were to evaluate all that, and the value of that is equal to nisab. The nisab nowadays is about $800. Then too, you will have to give Sadaqat al-Fitr. Even though you're not obliged to give zakat, but you are obliged to give Sadaqat al-Fitr. And you will give Sadaqat al-Fitr on behalf of yourself and on behalf of your minor children. Also, another masala we need to keep in mind, that many times we give Sadaqat al-Fitr on behalf of our wife. We normally give Sadaqat al-Fitr on behalf of our wife. But the problem is we never tell our wife. The fuqaha clearly mentioned that when you give Sadaqat al-Fitr on behalf of your wife, the wife should at least be informed so that she makes you wakil. So she should at least be told that I will be giving Sadaqat al-Fitr on your behalf. This must should be done in order for her Sadaqat al-Fitr to be executed properly. And may Allah, and obviously Eid, there are many other things to be discussed regarding Eid. We know some of it. Inshallah we can talk about it in the Eid program when we have that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to understand what has been said. And let's just make dua. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu wa laka shukru kulluhu wa ilayki rujua al-amru kulluhu. Allahumma la nuhsi thana'an alayka anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Wa Allah pardon our sins. Wa Allah forgive our sins. Ya Allah with your grace and mercy you have blessed us, Ya Allah, with one more day of Ramadan. Ya Allah, this is your mercy. Let us be able to appreciate this. Ya Allah, let us be able to appreciate this. Ya Allah, unite our hearts. Ya Allah, unite our hearts. Ya Allah, despite our differences, Ya Allah, unite our hearts. Ya Allah, make it easy for us to understand your message, Ya Allah, in the Quran. Ya Allah, accept our dua. Ya Allah, you have blessed us with so many ni'mat, so many bounties. Ya Allah, but there are brothers and sisters across the globe, Ya Allah, who don't even have a morsel of food to put into their mouth. Ya Allah, they don't even have a sip of water to put into their mouth, Ya Allah, and quench their thirst. Ya Allah, and we don't even remember them in our du'as. Ya Allah, this is a great shortcoming from our side. Ya Allah, forgive us. Wallah, forgive us. Ya Allah, our children. Ya Allah, protect our children. Ya Allah, protect our iman. Ya Allah, protect the iman of our children. Ya Allah, those, Ya Allah, who are looking forward to getting married, yet they have not found a suitable partner. Ya Allah, make it easy for them. Ya Allah, whatever, Ya Allah, lawful du'as that we have in our heart, Ya Allah, accept all the du'a. Ya Allah, accept our du'as. Ya Allah, subhanahu wa rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursalin, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.